Dear Muslim brothers and sisters and respected guests from the non-Muslims, if there are one or many, our task this evening is to uncover the most profound fact which a great deal of human beings, their governments, their intellectuals, have spent a great deal of time and energy to cover. And that is the life of a man and his mission. A man whose name was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. May the peace and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him. And may he be immune from the claiming of any faults or distortions regarding his person. It is not our attempt in discussing this issue to merely convince the world of the accomplishments of a person. For if we only had to discuss his accomplishments, then we would be comparing him with other human beings and their accomplishments. And even though his accomplishments far exceed whomsoever we might compare him to, it is the man and his message that is the most profound and that is the most important. Because it is the man and his message, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that contributed to his greatness and resulted in those accomplishments. Now, when we discuss the greatness of an individual, we need not simply measure the extent of his influence, but we need to discuss and understand and quantify the actual qualities that contribute to that realm of influence. A simple examination of Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, that uneducated shepherd, that prophet and messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that husband, that father, that friend, that statesman, that warrior, that merchant, that simple person, that neighbor, that individual who received without any ambition of his own revelation from the Most High and carried that revelation and that responsibility, when such a revelation could never have been received if it had come down upon a mountain. And the Quran, a revelation an inspiration and a legislation from the Most High has made that statement. It said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. The translation of which we can generally give, had this Quran descended upon a mountain, you would have seen this mountain crumbling, falling apart from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And such are the similitudes that we strike for you in order that you may give reflection to it. This tamthil, this example, which the Quran gives, is telling us that the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so powerful as it came down, that like a laser beam, which is used to make holes into mountains, and like the sonar beam, which is used to destroy mountains, when this revelation came down, it had such power and more. But the Most High prepared the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it was able to receive it. The only such heart that we could imagine could receive such power. That man and his message is unparalleled and categorically more profound than any other human being in the entire documented history of the human race. It is truly tragic that many human beings have been deprived of that legacy. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is both a gift and a mercy to mankind. He was sent solely for the purpose of perfecting good morals. He said, verily I have been sent to perfect good manners. His morals, his character, was a personification of the Quran itself. And this is how the Quran has been preserved. Not just by the memorization, but by the personification of it. So that this Quran, unlike any other revelation, it has been memorized in the life of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And it has been personified and documented by the billions of human beings who have followed him since. The message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the detailed record and evidence for all human beings to see. We would ask the question, how is it, if this is a fact, how is it that this life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been held back, has been covered, has been hidden, and is not evident to the entire world? There are many reasons. On the part of the unbelievers, they are intellectuals, they are religious leaders, they are skeptics, they are conspirators, those who have hated and opposed the monotheistic message ever since Ibrahim alayhi salam. They have done everything and spent everything to kill, to maim, to distort, to cover, to eliminate, to confuse this message. And they have been consistent in doing so. But on the part of the Muslims, we also have done our share in covering this great treasure. We Muslims acquiesced to foreign colonization. We accepted the domination and the colonization of the non-Muslims. We accepted the following of puppet governments and tyrants given to us, handpicked for us, for the last 500 years. We Muslims contributed with complicity, blatantly, in the open. We conspired with the unbelievers to destroy the Khilafah. And our leaders signed the Charter of the United Nations, or at that time the League of Nations. Our leaders, they signed, and they are loyal to it today. They will never bring the Khilafah back. We Muslims, we have failed to do our share to show progress and development which is associated with the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We Muslims have taken a seat in the far back of civilization, so much so that at one time the Muslims set the benchmark. The Muslims set the standard. The Muslims were the forerunners. The Muslims were the pioneers in every given science in the world. But today, the Muslims have the back seat. They are the following nations. They are the imitators. They are the wannabes. Even today, Muslims do not even own or control their own natural resources. And today, Muslims prefer to wear designer clothes. Muslims choose to change their names. Muslims choose to allow foreign governments to rule them, manipulate them, control their currency. And Muslims choose to whisper when they speak about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muslims and their children stand up and respect and salute and clap and sing and dance at the tune of the kafirs. But when it comes to the sunnah, we argue. We shuffle. We scratch our heads. And we seem to be confused. What is the sunnah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. He predicted and warned us, O you who believe, fear Allah, be mindful of Allah. And look towards what you have sent forward for yourselves on tomorrow for the future. Fear Allah, be mindful of Allah, and know that Allah is khabir, He is aware of the most subtle things and the secrets that you conceal, and that which you do. And do not be like those people who forgot about Allah, so that Allah caused them to forget their own selves. And this is what has happened to us Muslims. We didn't forget the 99 attributes of Allah. We put them up on the walls of our masjids. We wear Ayatul Kursi around our necks. We put the attributes of Allah up on our mantelpieces in our living rooms. Most of us, we have 5 or 6 different kinds of Qur'ans that we look at. Only we look at. So we didn't forget the name of Allah. We didn't forget the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because all of us, all of our names are Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are all Ahmed, Mahmoud, Hamid, Muhammad, Abdul Hamid. The non-Muslims, they call us Muhammadans because of our insistence upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although, unlike those people that chose to call themselves Christians, we are not Mohammedans. We simply love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his life is stamped upon our hearts. But we have forgotten about his sunnah. As a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, we have forgotten our own identities. Our own legacy has been lost. But alhamdulillah, until our eyes close and the dust fills our mouths, we have the chance to revive his sunnah. We have the chance to revive the word and the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have a chance to uncover the treasure. So the whole world can see using the fiber optics, using the multimedia, using all the tools Allah has given us today to show who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is that man and what is his message? The question is, how do we measure greatness? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa innaka ala khuluqil azim. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily you have been created and sent upon a high standard of character. This means, if the Almighty said it, there should not be another character whose standard can be compared to that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We only have to search through the pages of history, and we will find there's not another human being whose character can compare with that of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never drank alcohol throughout his life, although alcohol drinking was just as common in that day as it is today. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used any kind of intoxicant. And although the drugs that are used today were not known in his time, they had their own types of drugs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he was commissioned as a prophet and messenger, he never touched alcohol or drugs. He never committed fornication or adultery. In fact, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam never looked upon a naked woman ever in his life. He never looked upon any woman with lust in his entire life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him, protected his eyes, protected his spirit, and protected his morals. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never stole, touched any property that was not his own. He never abused anyone's property. In fact, while he was being attacked, while his followers were being killed and tortured, and even while he knew that some of his countrymen were conspiring to murder him, at that very time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was holding a trust in his home, a trust they had given to him, a trust of money, a trust of values, valuables that they had given to him, because in Mecca, where he was born, he was known as Al-Amin, the most trustworthy. And Al-Amin, even though his enemies had stole from his followers, killed his followers, tortured his followers, confiscated their properties, he could have done what others do in warfare. He could have then confiscated their wealth that he was holding. But when they entered his home to kill him, they did not find him there. Instead, they found his cousin Ali, radiallahu anhu. And he left Ali in his house when he escaped, for only one reason, so that Ali, radiallahu anhu, could give back to them the valuables, the money that they had entrusted with him years ago. Can you imagine a man who is hated for his message, opposed for his message, sought to be killed, yet those people who hated the message and sought to kill him, they never thought to come and say, give us back our money. Because still they trusted him. Because they knew there was no one with more trust in Mecca than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never in his life did he ever lift his hand to hit any human being. Ever! Not a servant, not a wife, not a child, not a friend, nor an enemy, except when that enemy was opposing Allah and opposing the message. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned into a tiger, into a lion, and he executed the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in defending this faith. And he transformed from someone that the companions and the people said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was as gentle, he was as shy as a virgin on her wedding night, hiding behind a curtain. He was that kind of man. He was that pious. He was that shy. He was that gentle in his speech. Yet it was said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was met on a battlefield, he was ferocious in defending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to look for him on the battlefield, they said, wallahi, we found him in the middle of the enemies fighting. And they said, we used to seek the protection of his person. We used to hide behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the battlefield. He was such a warrior and statesman on the battlefield, commanding and fighting for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once he was off the battlefield, his eyes were downcast and he was speaking softly and he was gentle and he was warm and he was sacred and soft and caring and crying. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةٍ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have been sent as a mercy to the whole world. So he was a mercy even to those people who are ignorant of him. They are benefiting from that mercy. He was a mercy even to those that opposed him, so that when he had the chance, when he had the chance for revenge, when he had a chance for reprisals, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never took revenge. He never took reprisals, because he was rahmatul lil alameen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he always paid his debts. And even when a Jew came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam abusing him, telling him, O Muhammad, give me my money, which you owe to me. Shouting at him, abusing him in his masjid, in the company of his companions. One of those companions, they stood up to kill him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, you sit down. The man that we owe has the right to abuse and not to be harmed. He didn't say that man was right in his abuse. He said that because the Prophet owed him, that debt was more right than our right to defend against abuse. Look at the way the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his principle, his character. And when a Bedouin came to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, demanding that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give him some share in the zakat, the charity. And that man came to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grabbing his coat like this, saying, give to me my share. Until a mark was made on the neck of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his companions also wanted to kill that man. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told them, leave him. Leave him. And the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he smiled. He said, what do you want? The man said, give me. And the Prophet continued to give him until he said, I have enough. And that man left. This was the manner of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His tolerance, his mercy, his patience, his integrity. The Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always preferred his neighbors and his guests. The first order that he gave his companions when they entered Medina, when they made the hijrah, he told them, he didn't say, knock on the doors and tell the people I'm here. He didn't say, announce I am the ruler. He didn't say, go and talk to them about Islam. He didn't say, go and say, the Muslims are here. We are strong. This is our city. No. He told them, تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامُ مَنْ أَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفُ. He says, spread the food. Give food. And give the greetings. مَنْ أَرَفْتَ whom you know وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفُ whom you don't know. This is what he said to do. And so the Muslims went out from him, taking their food, whatever they had, sharing it with the neighbors, talking to them, greeting them, intermingling with them, sitting with them, accepting their invitations, getting to know them, showing them, sharing with them, exposing them to the character, to the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so within a few months, the whole of Medina was at the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accepting him to be the arbiter of that city, giving to him the keys of Medina, even though some of them still secretly resisted him, and even though some of them secretly hated his message, still they gave him the keys. Because they had no defense against a man with this kind of character. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never wore silk. He never wore gold. He never dressed arrogantly. He never dressed ostentatiously. He never walked proud, arrogant. He never appeared in front of people like he was a king or an emperor, even when he was the absolute ruler. One could enter a hall like this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could be sitting among his companions as you were sitting. And it was common for people to look around and want to think, he should be sitting up someplace in a chair on a throne like other leaders. He should be wearing some gown of gold. He should be wearing some kind of crown. He should be a man with people around him serving him. But when they came in and they looked around, it was a common question. Who is Muhammad? Where is he? No one could tell who was the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, among his followers, because his clothes and what he ate and where he chose to sit was never different from the other people. You tell me, name one leader in the world that could compare with that. Any one of us, if we just get a raise on our jobs and they give us a little office, we get a big chair. If we make some money, we want a big house. We want a big car. And don't make one of us a ruler. We want some servants, some slaves. And we want a whole gang of people to defend us. Not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His dignity came from Allah, and his distinction came from the revelation itself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never lied. He never lied to his enemies. And he said, the only deception that we have a right to do is during war. He said, war is deception. But it didn't mean lying to his enemy. No, it meant not giving the enemy information that could be used logistically against us. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never lied. He never deceived. Jazakumullah khairan. He never lied. He never deceived. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never lied to anyone. He was sadiqul masduq. Sadiqul masduq. The most truthful of anyone that spoke the truth. He never deceived anyone. On one occasion, there was a man who apostatized. That means he broke his loyalty with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he left the Muslims, and then he began to insult the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He began to abuse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from a distance. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Mecca, that man was ashamed. He was afraid. So he came and he hid in the house of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, because Uthman was one of his tribesmen. And it was common. Automatically a man could come and hide with me because he is my client. And so Uthman brought that man to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to take his oath, to apologize, to ask for forgiveness, to be reinstated. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused twice. He said, no. No, I don't accept from him. And when the man pleaded, finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being true to his character, said, okay, I accept, go. And when that man left, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, why did not one of you, when I refused, why didn't one of you get up and chop his head off? Why didn't one of you get up when I refused and kill him as he was worthy to be killed? They said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you did not give us any signal. He said, a prophet never makes those kinds of signs. He is not secret. He doesn't wink or give somebody some signs. He is not like that. A prophet is open and direct. This shows that that man by right, by law, could have been killed, but the Prophet saw some, he left it up to the execution of his followers. But they waited for his signal, and he gave them no signal. Then the Prophet let that man go. And when he let him go, he made it plain to everyone, you must treat him as anyone else amongst us. This is the manner of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never acquired any possessions for himself. It was related by Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, verily when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he left no dinaran, no dirham. It means he left no dollar. He left no pound. He left no currency. He left no money. The only thing that he left was a white mule that he used to ride on, a coat of armor that he used to wear, a cloth that he used to cover himself with, and a bowl that he used to eat from. And he said, give this to the Ibn Sabil. Give this to a wayfarer. So the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not die owning property to be distributed to his family and his relatives, because he said, verily, a prophet has no inheritance. Subhanallah. And when the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was on his deathbed, he was dying. He was in the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And he would pass out and come back to consciousness. And he would pass out and come back to consciousness. And on one occasion, he came back to consciousness and he asked Aisha, oh Aisha, is there anything in our house of value? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I have a few dinarans or dirhams. I have a few dollars. I have a few pounds. I have a few coins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give them away. Give it away. She was silent. And he passed out. He passed out. He went unconscious again. And Aisha, a mother, Aisha, a wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a mother of the believers, a woman, she thought like a woman. Maybe I should hold that money. It's just a small amount of money. If something happens, I will have something. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became conscious again, the first thing he said, oh Aisha, what did you do with that money? She said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, I was holding it because I was afraid if something should happen. He said, oh Aisha, what will Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? What will he do if he dies and he leaves this world, leaving some property? So, oh Aisha, give it away, please, give it. Yet he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of you is those who are best to his family, to his wives, and I am the best of you to his family. Evidently, he didn't mean the best of you is he who leaves the most money to them. Because he didn't leave anything. He left it upon the Muslims to take care of their mothers. Because his wives, they were the mothers of the believers. And when one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Abu Bakr and said, Ya Abu Bakr, you should give to us an allowance from the Bayt al-Mal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have passed away and we are his wives. You should give to us an allowance Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, you have no right to any allowance from the Bayt al-Mal. This is the money of the Muslims. But you are our mothers, and we will take care of our mothers. O Muslims, O non-Muslims, think about this kind of man. Have you heard of such a man? Have you ever seen such a man? Have you read about such a man? Never. You cannot even imagine this kind of man. He never abused his family. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, all of those, Zayd ibn Harith radiallahu anhu, all of those who served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who served him, they said in his entire life, he never said to us, oof. When we did something, he never said, oof. No, he always was gentle. And he was always generous. And when someone asked him for something, he gave everything to them, never caring about himself. And the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to sleep on a mat, like that mat on the floor. Only thing, it was made from palm fiber, from dried grass. And that's how he slept. On a dirt floor, with no furniture in his house. And one day, Umar ibn al-Khattab entered the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saw that he was sleeping on the dirt floor. And Umar, he said, Ya Rasulullah, the kings, the emperors in the earth, in Persia, in Byzantium, in Habash, all over the world, these kings, they are not like you. O Rasulullah, you can have better than this. And the Prophet dismissed him and said, they have what they have been given, and I have what I have been given. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا. I am pleased with what Allah has given to me. And any one of you that says, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَبِيًّا, Allah will also be pleased with you. And one morning when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam woke up, and his back had marks in it from that dry mat that he used to lay down on, his wife, she said, tonight I will make him more comfortable. So she doubled it for him. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam slept that night, he overslept for the prayer in the morning. And he said, what happened? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I made the mat a little bit softer for you. He said, don't do it. You disturbed my morning prayer. This was the man. Ya Rasulullah, the Prophet always defended the weak and the poor, even when he was a young boy. He joined a pact in Mecca called Hilf al-Fudul, a party of people pledging themselves to do defense for the poor, for the weak, for the sick, for the elderly. He joined that pact. So he was doing social work when he was a young boy, like one of these young boys sitting in front of us. Yet he was not a prophet or a messenger at that time. This was the man. A man that received revelation, a man that received inspiration directly from the Almighty, through that great spirit called Jibreel, alayhi salam. that revelation and that inspiration from the Almighty, which has become an everlasting legislation for the world. There are four major compartments of His greatness that we can look at and that we can compare Him with anyone else, because He was not a mythological figure. He was not an abstract figure. He was not a personality that perhaps He didn't really exist. No, His life has been documented in detail by both Muslims and non-Muslims. Those who loved Him and those that resisted Him, still they document it in detail. And there's no human being's life that has been documented in detail, personal and private, public, an open book for the world to see, to be examined, like the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam . He surpassed all other human beings in His psychological and moral qualities. And secondly, He surpassed all other human beings in His nobility and worth of the fundamental values. And thirdly, no human being was able to realize His vision. No prophet, no king, no emperor, no messenger, no human being was able to realize in his own life that which his life was set out to fulfill. No one realized it to the extent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And fourthly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the only human being that educated a whole generation to follow him, to walk in his footsteps, to preserve his sunnah, his tradition, to preserve the message that he had been given, and to establish a government to resist all other governments, and to carry his word, and to carry that legislation, and to carry that inspiration throughout the world, all the way until this day that we are living in today. One quarter of the whole world, one quarter of the entire world are filled with people who every day they say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama salaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka hamidun majid. And Allah, He said in the revelation He gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna Allah wa malaikatuhu yusalluna ala an-nabi, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. And we, today, we answer that. Allah say, oh you who believe, Allah Azza wa Jal and His angels, wherever they are, they send a special salutation and immunity upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh you who believe, you too, sin salah upon him with reverence and gratitude. So we Muslims, we say, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so one quarter of the human beings are saying, oh Allah, bless and exalt Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you have blessed Ibrahim and his followers. Exalt Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers, as you have exalted Ibrahim and his followers, verily you are praiseworthy and you are glorious. One quarter of the human beings, one out of every four human beings, are Muslims. Whether they are weak Muslims or strong Muslims, white Muslims or black Muslims, yellow Muslims or red Muslims, female or male Muslims, young or old Muslims, powerful or weak Muslims, Muslims of the weak, of the West or the East, Muslims in China, Muslims in Australia, Muslims in America, Muslims in Afghanistan, Muslims in Iceland, Muslims in the North Pole, Muslims in Scandinavia, Muslims in Puerto Rico, Muslims every place. And if there's a place in the ocean where humans are at, there are Muslims there. And if there is a place in the, on the moon where Muslim, where humans are at, there's a Muslim there too. And I understand that there are 58 astronauts that are at the space station every day. And I wish Allah would give me a ticket to go there. I wish some of us, we could take a ticket to go to the space station. And we'll give dawah out in space. And we'll come back, inshallah. Some of them would become allies, and a few of them would also become Muslims. So we could say there are some Muslims on the space station too. Oh Muslims, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined in a single personality the highest degree of spirituality through diligent worship. This was a man receiving over the period of 23 years on a daily basis, intermittently, he was receiving the 6,626 verses of the Quran over a period of 23 years, receiving the revelation. And when it came, they said his body shook. His body shook. And if someone's hand or leg was under his, it felt as if their hand or their leg was being crushed from the revelation coming down. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sweated and his body shivered, so that the fools among the unbelievers said he had epilepsy. Because they could not explain what was happening to this man. I told you earlier that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, had he sent this Quran down on a mountain, it would have crushed a mountain. So what do you think it would have done to the heart of a human being? But Allah prepared the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a vessel for it. But when the revelation came down, they could see it. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also, during the course of that day, feeding the poor, visiting the sick, discharging the army, acting as a statesman, acting as an arbiter, talking to the people, addressing the women, giving out the zakah, sewing his clothes, washing his house, shopping for the food, doing all the things that you and I do. And at night, standing in prayer for 4 or 5 hours at a time. And in the day, fighting the battles, discharging the armies, giving the ahkam and the rulings, explaining the Quran, instructing the people in behavior. How could a man do all of that and stand 4 or 5 hours at night at one time? What kind of human being could that be? It was a messenger. It was a prophet. This was a man with a message. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion, he went to a place called Ta'if to give his message to those people. Ta'if is a high place, maybe 60 miles, 50 miles from Mecca, and he walked there. And when he arrived there, the nobles of that city, sent out the meaner elements, some urchins and bums and destitute people, to throw rocks at the Prophet and spit at him. And he bled, and he cried, and he sat down on the stump of a tree or on a rock, and he was questioning himself, why I was not successful in talking to these people. What is it that I'm doing? I'm inefficient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam to say to him, O Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Salam alayk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, Salamu alaykum Muhammad. And he has ordered me to command the angels of the mountains on the two sides of these people to come together like that and crush those people if you want. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, I don't want that. Let them go. Maybe one day they will be Muslims. Today, Ta'if is one of the most beautiful places where the flowers grow where there are no flowers anywhere else. And everyone in Ta'if today is Muslim. This was the manner of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a man that one time his daughter Fatima, she was washing her clothes and washing around her house so that her hands became blistered. And Ali, who was her husband, said, oh Fatima, why don't you go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go to your father and ask him to give you a servant to help you around the house. And Fatima, she didn't want to go. But because Ali told her, oh Fatima, go ask your father for a servant. So Fatima, she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she said, Ya Rasulullah, Ali, he asked me to ask you, can you give me a servant in my house? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his daughter, oh Fatima, can I tell you something which would be better for you than a servant? Say subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. And she cried. And she left. Because she understood that she should never have asked him. Because he didn't have any servants. And he was more deserving of a servant than her. He told her, say subhanallahi, say glory be to Allah, glory be to Allah, and the praise is for him, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. And she said it and she left. This was a man in this world, but always thinking about the hereafter, because Allah sent to him the ayah, Al-akhiratu khayrun wa abqa. The akhirah is better for you and for everyone else than what is present. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion, Aisha radiallahu an, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do you stand at night until your ankles swell? Oh Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, my Lord feeds me and provides me drink. And he said, should I not be thankful towards my Lord? She said, oh Prophet Or someone said, why do you pray so much? You have been pardoned from all your mistakes. And you are ma'asum. You don't commit any sins. Why do you have to pray so much? He said, should I not be thankful to my Lord? Such was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was just and he was fair. He didn't give to his family. He didn't distribute to his friends. He didn't make judgment for those who he liked and made judgments against those he didn't like the kings, like the presidents, like the chairmen, like the rich people, like the judges of today, and like those who have done it throughout history. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people before you were destroyed because when rich people, powerful people, when they committed sins, they let them go. They passed it up. But when poor people and weak people committed sins,